to Myra Azapardi, the Citizens Advice Bureau, Spain. Good morning to you, Myra.
Good morning to everyone.
Good to have you with us. If people want to get in contact with today's show, today we're going to be speaking about rental contracts. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
If you want to get in contact, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-784000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
So, what are the practices and the pitfalls then of rental contracts? What should people be looking out for? What should people be doing?
Yes, I think that here most people who need a rental just go ahead and they speak to an agent, they speak to a landlord, and they sign a contract with very little understanding of what they're signing. I know this because that's when people then come to me when things are going wrong, such as an example, signing a 7-year contract and then wanting to get out after the first year and not having considered that there's a clause in there, which is totally legal, saying that they would have to, they could certainly leave after 6 months, but the landlord has every right to ask them for compensation, which would be like a month's rent every year for the 5 years. That can be very expensive.
Right.
Because you've signed a contract for 7 years. Okay?
Yeah.
So there's lots of little bits like this, or people who say, well, we only signed an 11-month contract, and when in fact there isn't really such a thing. You can pact contracts with your landlord. There is no duration. You can decide to have it for 1 year. But after that year is up, it depends whether... Now, there's a law pertaining to the past, and some people are still in those rental properties where they signed from 2013 on, and it changed where a rental contract duration was 3 years, and in December of 2018 that was changed, and a few other bits were changed in the law. And where a contract now signed, if it's by a physical person, meaning somebody that's not a business or not a company, then it's 5 years.
Okay.
7 years if you're renting from somebody who's the bank, like a bank or an entity or a company. Now, this comes up when people who want to come here and on a non-lucrative visa and think, well, the only way I can do my rentals a business is to put it into a company. So that's the case now from 2018. So there's two laws, and I'll try and go through both of them where they vary.
Okay.
So, of course, say 5 year or 3 year, we'll go on 5 year, contract is, even if it says 11 months, if it doesn't say it's a short-term contract, it's actually for a dwelling, vivienda, it's really important that people look, if they want a long-term contract, that they do not have a contract that puts in clauses or the heading, which one person contacted me actually states that it is not for a habitual home.
Yep.
So you're in trouble then. You
right.
can be asked to leave after a year. But if it's the normal contract, which one would expect, by law, it would now be for 5 years. And what happens is, after every year, if the tenant doesn't give notice, 30 days notice, the landlord can't give notice, the contract will just carry on.
Right.
Every year until it reaches 5 years, or 7 years if it's from a company. So you have the right to stay there for 7 years. So it's important that people don't sign things with clauses. And they have to watch, because on the older contract, it would have needed the clause to say if you left early, you'd have to pay X amount of compensation to the landlord, whereas now it would be automatic.
Right, okay.
Right, so they can get out of the contract after 6 months, but they can, they will, if there's clauses in there, or even now not, they will be paying for the time left.
Okay.
Okay, so a lot of people say, contact us and say, well, my landlord did a contract and it's only for 11 months, so I have to get out. Well, actually, it's not. I have to look at the contract then and say, no, that contract is not 11-month contract. It is, in fact, a 5-year contract. And the only way the landlord can give notice is for two reasons. This is not if he's a businessman, like a bank can't say, I need it for my cousin, or, but it's not cousin. It's if the landlord needs the property for his relatives, such as wife, ex-wife, as well, in a divorce situation, children, siblings. He can then give 2 months' notice, okay, and ask you to leave because he wants the property back because he needs it for a family member.
So the landlord is allowed to say, if you sign this contract, that with you give you basically 60 days' notice that he needs it back, or for example, he sold it or something like that, yeah?
Yes. Now, if somebody is trying to get you out for some reason and have thought of that reason to get you out because they realise they can't use anything else, the person who is due to move in on the landlord's side must move in within 3 months. Doesn't really help you very much when you've moved out. If they don't move in within 3 months, you can move back in and you would ask compensation for your moving costs.
Okay. So, yeah. So
Not very helpful. It just shows you a contract is quite complex. Contracts are. And people really need some legal advice when they're signing things, unless they understand it. They understand the law. But we do have information on this.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of people, a lot of, if you go onto social media saying, you know, apartment available, normally it's through an agent, so they'll want, you know, this finder's fee, 2 months in advance plus the month, so that's, you know, a considerable amount of money. And then they say 11-month contract only. Is that a legal thing? Is that...
Yes, and if they haven't stated, if the landlord or the owner hasn't stated on the contract that it's a contrato temporada... it's not a long-term contract, then they can nowadays, and before, those clauses can be accepted if you were to go to court of law. If they were to say that it was only 11 months and you can see you signed that, very difficult for them to get you out before the 5 years is up, because even though they're putting in some kind of other clause and it is a habitual home, you can't be removed as long as you continue to pay your rent. So one of the reasons is that a landlord can give you notice. He can only give you notice in these two cases, obviously, if you don't pay your rent. You can be asked to leave, and whether or not they'd have to go to court or not is another thing to get you to leave. So if a family member needs to come in, and they must do within 3 months, or in the case the property is sold.
And presumably as well, Murray, if you are breaking the terms of the contract, i.e. using the say you've got a villa and you're using it as a clinic for something and you haven't, it's only for private use, then the landlord will be able to get you out, surely.
Well, you'd have broken the contract, yes, but a contract should say things like no subletting, because some people do. I have a case at the moment that somebody has sublet. They haven't got a problem with the landlord, but they've got a problem with the friend who doesn't want to move out.
Right. Okay, yeah, well, that's the...
And that's very... there's more... there's other things that can go wrong. You have to be very careful and read your contract. So, yes, you mustn't use it for business if you're not allowed to. You also sometimes, depending on the type of business, you should get the license and permission. So another way a landlord might try and get the property back is because it's been sold. Well, before the 2018 law... What you'd have to do to be able to have the new buyer respect the contract is have your contract registered at the registrar of the propiedad, the property registry. Practically nobody did that. So could the landlord do that? Because if you didn't pay the rent, he could get you out probably without a court case. That's no longer in place since 2018. Now, if the property is sold... The new owner, and this also goes for those renting out properties, whether you're registered, whether your contract is registered at the registry or not, you have the right to stay there, and your contract must be respected, and until the time is up, that could be 5 years or 7 years.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's quite the important things. With the new contract, again, the rental deposit remains fixed at 1 month's rent. And it can be in cash.
It can be in cash. That's an interesting one, because everything otherwise pertaining. If you're handing out a large amount of cash, surely the banks and the what's it, we want to know where that cash comes from normally, no?
Well, you're allowed to use X amount of cash. You're allowed to pay so much. If you're a resident, you can accept so much in cash. Right, should only be 1 month's rent, and the rent should be lodged, say, for instance, in Andalusia, it's with AVRA. Each autonomous region has a particular office to do with the autonomous government where deposits must be lodged.
Right.
So most landlords don't do that, and then your tenant can use that maybe as a, if you, you know, the whole other thing is not getting your deposit back.
I was about to say, that was another thing, isn't it? So presumably if it's lodged somewhere else, it means the landlord can say, oh yes, but you broke this cup, therefore I'm keeping your, you know, could be a couple of £1,000 deposit.
Well, we can talk a little bit about that, in who's responsible for what.
Yeah.
You know, if you break a cup, it's little things, you could replace it. So the rental contract remains fixed at 1 month. It can go up, increased with the once the period has ended as well. So there's also rent revisions by the tenant or landlord if agreed on the contract.
Okay.
Right, you've got to be careful when you rent, and it can only go up by a percentage of what the national index. Now on our website it's got a link to that, so it's known in general, IPC, and we've got the information there, because it gets a little bit more complicated to see what it could go up by. If that index for like consumer cost of living, all that, doesn't go up, then the landlord can't put the rent up. You see, it's quite complicated.
Yeah. I can
and again, now for what you were saying, parties can agree that costs for maintenance, services, taxes, related to the property, are responsibility of the tenant, if that's in the contract. But that must be added to the contract, and you're agreeing to that. You have to be careful what you're agreeing to.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, a lot of people also talk about fees for rental agency, and the legal fees for the rental contract, including drafting the contract, is up to the landlord. A lot of people are being forced to pay for the contract. Only if he's not a physical person, he's a judicial person, an SL or a business. Okay?
Yeah.
Including the agency fees. Of course, if the tenant has taken the initiative to go to an agency and ask them to find them a property, then the agency has every right to charge that tenant. Okay?
Yeah, got you on that one as well, yes.
Because you've actually gone for a service. There's also now quite a lot of protection for tourist rentals in community of owners. Again, that comes up for me a lot of the times, which is under the horizontal property law, but there must be a unanimous decision to limit or condition properties in the community to be registered for holiday lets. Now, this is a good law, really, and there has to be a three-fifths majority vote of all owners, because otherwise you can get private communities, and then you've got X amount of rentals, and a lot of people don't like that because it changes, people have parties and all that. So that's in the community law as well. You have to vote to allow that. You just can't allow every other property to be a holiday let. It's really important that people speak to their administrators about this.
Well, yeah, I mean that especially around this time of year, that can be a real concern for people who have their residences here, and suddenly they've got the people are letting out every 2 weeks, and it becomes a real problem, especially not only the noise, but also in the community areas as well.
Yes, exactly. So there are laws in place to protect you there, and remember, properties in the communities of owners will be ruled by the autonomous tourist rental laws as well. So that there are rental laws, you know, you have to have licenses to rent your property in this way, and a lot of people do not conform. you can be in trouble and get huge fines for not conforming.
Yeah, of course. The other thing about commute, I mean, I was listening to a friend of mine the other day who said they're having a vote on whether they should be what colour they can paint their apartments. You know, if they've got townhouses, yeah. And there's in the community saying, no, you can't paint your townhouse pink or a rather fetching shade of yellow. They all have to be white.
Yes, but they can do those because it's voted in by the owners and you're told those, your awnings have to be a certain colour. So they try and keep it all uniform, I suppose, for a bit of neatness, really.
Yeah, indeed.
Again, bank, we talked about if a owner sells a property or rights and bank repossession. A lot of people all of a sudden find out they've been paying rent and the bank has been slowly repossessing the property. They do have rights in that property, but they must know what's happening. And if they find out that the property is about to be repossessed, normally by the bank, they must go down to the courts, the local courts, with their rental contracts to let the courts know that they have this agreement, and then their tenancy must be respected until the end of the term.
Okay. Myra, if people want to get in touch with you, where can they get in touch with you on to talk about this or any other?
I suppose the best way would just Google Citizens Advice Spain. Now, I don't know if we've got time. You mentioned repairs.
Yes, I did indeed.
Urgent repairs?
Yes, there's a
right.
Good repairs.
The landlord should repair things of vital necessity, worn or broken due to normal use. I'll give you an example, a boiler.
Yeah, that's always a big one, isn't it? Yeah, or an air conditioning unit, that sort of thing.
Yes. And the landlord can ask the tenant to arrange for the repair, but the landlord pays. And if the landlord is advised of urgent repairs and he doesn't take action, the tenant can withhold the rent to pay these repairs. Obviously, you can't live in a situation where, you know, a vital necessity doesn't work. But to make sure that you don't get accused of trying to not pay rent is to get a couple of quotes when you're going to have work done, only for the essential items,
yeah.
And keep copy of all the receipts. And this does not cover costs for minor wear and tear, like the broken cup.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It depends what you're going to say is an essential item. I mean, if the house comes with a plasma TV screen and it gets broke, you know, they could say, well, it's not exactly an essential item, but something like a boiler, something like white goods,
it's
a fridge.
Essential.
You know, yeah.
And all the white goods in the kitchen, which are a responsibility, they're essential items because a washing machine has always been known, you know, that you must rent with a washing machine, though, you know, the law doesn't give you everything specifically. But I think also the unknown law has now been rejected, has now been removed, where tenants should pay a tax on renting. And thank goodness we'd written about that way back in 2018. That was removed. It was a very small tax, but you're supposed to pay a tax as a tenant.
Right.
For being able to rent, besides your rent and everything else. I think it's really important that every single thing in a contract is gone through with a tooth comb. People are not lawyers, and even then, lawyers have to be lawyers who have expertise in this field, not again back to where people will use general lawyers for everything. I mean, we've got a case with somebody now, I don't know if they've even used a lawyer. It's another subject we need to talk about, buying or selling. You should use a lawyer, but
Absolutely.
I shouldn't use the word should. It's recommended that you use a lawyer, most certainly when you're buying and also when you're selling. We've got people now not being able to get back their 3% retention for not having been fiscal residents because either they didn't use a lawyer or the purchasers haven't filled in the relevant forms. So it's all, but back to rentals, it's almost as complicated. It sounds as purchasing, doesn't it? It's really important, and you've got to really think before you go in, like these people who didn't, you know, sometimes you go into a place, you don't see it every day, and it's not what you wanted, and, you know, it's, it can be a nightmare. You want to get out, and there you find the landlord says, yes, you can after 6 months, but I want X amount. That's compensation a lot of people can't afford.
Indeed, indeed. Myra, I'm going to have to catch you because we're going to run out of time. If people want to get more information, where can they go? The best place is always the Facebook page?
The best place to go is to our website. The Facebook page is fun, and for those that don't mind and accept that every expat is a lawyer, they're most certainly welcome to post a
yes,
on
exactly.
the Facebook group. You see, there's so many groups that just have everybody answering, as you're probably aware, and
yes.
everybody becomes a specialist. We do try and stop some of those questions going out to the public, the ones that we think are a bit legal or personal, or and of course now people have the option to post anonymously, which I think is fantastic.
Yes. Mm, yes, indeed.
You've got a problem. You know, we don't allow name and shame because it's illegal here unless somebody's been actually been to court and convicted of something. You can't name them. I notice a lot of expat groups still do that. It's totally illegal. But anybody wants their question in private, doesn't want everybody else to know who they are and their business, they can now post anonymously on the Facebook group. The website will take them to the page. The page will then take them to the group.
Well, that's it. Go and check out the website, exactly, and you can go to the group if you wish. Myra Azapardi, as always, have a good weekend. Thanks for that input. Look at your rental agreements with a fine-tooth comb, as Myra said, Myra Azapardi, as
Please
always.
Do.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Bye.